Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of the Discover Freedom Project podcast. Today we're going to talk about medicating mental health and a little bit about the stereotypes that unfortunately follow that and how we can make the right choice for ourselves and for our mental health and not let what other people think of medication skew how we treat our very real illnesses. So first I will read the article and then I might have some thoughts at the end that are a little more free-flowing, if you will. So, knowing when to medicate your mental health problems can be unclear, dependent on the situation, polarizing, and scary. I was in high school when I first went to a doctor to talk about taking some medication to help with what was increasingly becoming a problem with depression and anxiety. He prescribed something for me. I don't now remember the name, but what I do remember is that I hated the way that this medication made me feel. And more accurately, I hated the way that it made me not feel. While I was aching for the depression and anxiety to be less intense, I didn't desire for my feelings to go away entirely. And on this medication, I felt numb. No joy, no happiness, no extreme sadness, no overwhelming anxiety, just nothing. Which, as weird as it sounds, was more alarming than the lows of depression. So I stopped taking that medication pretty quickly and became discouraged. I was disappointed and I told myself that I had tried, so there wasn't anything else I could do about my quote unquote dysfunction. I was just gonna have to learn to live like this forever. Now, we have to remember that I was in high school and so I didn't have a clue about how many different medications there were available to try, and I didn't understand brain chemistry and what all that had to do with how I was feeling. So we're going to fast forward to after college. My mental health had continued to be a concern in college, but I dealt with it the best that I could. Shortly after graduating, I got a job at a call center for a large healthcare insurance company. I was good at the job when it came to quotas and getting things done and understanding their systems. I was very good at that part. The part I wasn't so great at was the customer service side of it. And after a year and a half of being yelled at by members who simply didn't understand their health insurance coverage and having to correct claims that were processed incorrectly, I had what I would consider to be my first breakdown. For the sake of me, I had to quit that job. But I still didn't think about taking medicine again because I had already tried medicine in high school, so there was nothing I could do, and I felt like I didn't have any hope. Shortly after getting my next job, I went to the doctor and we talked about what had been going on. I very deftly slipped the depression and anxiety discussion into an appointment for a severe sinus infection, and he nicely went with me on that. After drawing a picture of my brain and explaining the disconnect, he prescribed Effexor to take the edge off of the anxiety. The learning curve for Effexor is huge. I was awake for the next 3 days straight. I felt worse than ever, and I was ready to give up. My doctor encouraged me to wait it out, said that my body would adjust, and it did. I am so glad I listened to him because my body did adjust, and I noticed a huge decrease in my anxiety levels, and that was game-changing for me. This, of course, did not solve my depression or all of my anxiety. It did, however, allow me to keep my head above water while I tried to go to counseling. And counseling is a whole nother topic for a whole nother podcast that we'll get into. I prayed and I hoped that there was more to life than my current situation. So we're going to fast forward again to 2008. when I voluntarily went to the outpatient treatment center that I talked about previously. The first thing every day, you would meet with the psychiatrist who would go over how you were feeling, what might be different from the day before, and what medications or options were available to you. On the first day, after explaining to the psychiatrist my sleeping patterns, he prescribed Ambien. My only knowledge of Ambien was that sometimes people would get weird dreams, or they would get up in the middle of the night and eat while they were sleeping, and some people would drive while they were sleeping. So I was a little wary of starting it, but trusting the doctor and being all in regards to my treatment, I began to take Ambien and Wellbutrin in conjunction with an increased dose of Effexor. And you guys, I had no idea that I had not been sleeping. After a few days of taking Ambien, I felt better than I had in years. This, I thought, this is what people who sleep through the night feel. Rested, alert, better able to face the day. Looking back, I hadn't had a real night's sleep in years. My mind was incapable of turning off, and no matter how tired, sleep was elusive and sporadic. Songs would be stuck on repeat in my head. I would replay conversations, analyzing what I could have said better, and I would have to get up and clean that one more thing before I felt calm enough to go to sleep. The truth is, when we don't get enough sleep, everything becomes magnified. So a disappointment becomes a disaster. You don't regulate your feelings well. I mean, think about new mothers, people who work nights, or someone who has to take care of a sick family member. This was the same thing. Since treatment, I have been on the same medications, Wellbutrin, Effexor, and Ambien. If I am having an exceptionally stressful day, I have my doctor's permission to take an extra half dose of Effexor. These medications have not only been a blessing, but are and will continue to be a necessity throughout the rest of my life. So let's look at some of the stereotypes regarding taking medication for mental health issues, and I'm only going to touch on three. So one is that there's something wrong between you and God. Another one is that you will have to take it for the rest of your life. And another stereotype is that you are choosing to feel this way and can change it if you want to. So these are the first three that come to my mind. And I'm sure there are a lot of other negative stereotypes regarding this issue. Let's take a minute and refute these stereotypes with the truth. The first one, there is something wrong between you and God. And we're going to go with false. Now, that's not to say that God is incapable of healing you, because he absolutely is. But he did not give you this because of something you have or haven't done. That's not the God that we serve. We live in a fallen world, and sin is a part of that too. You will have to take it for the rest of your life, and that's not true. A lot of seasons of depression in life are what's called situational depression. This means that you are feeling this way because of the life situation you are experiencing. For example, a divorce, the loss of a loved one, extreme stress, unemployment, your children being in their teen years. In these situations, you may benefit from taking medication in conjunction with therapy for a short period of time while you learn coping skills to help you see your situation more rationally and from a different perspective. Three, you are choosing to feel this way and can change if you want to. And so that's most definitely false. If your brain chemistry is atypical, no amount of effort on your part is going to change that, and it's okay. So just like you cannot heal yourself of cancer or heart disease or arthritis, you cannot heal yourself of genetic mental disorders, and you should never feel that you can. It is a weight no one could bear, and just like cancer, heart disease, and arthritis, there are treatment plans that can be put into place to manage them. And that would include counseling and medication. So I'm going to ask you to find that journal or scrap scrap piece of paper you found during the first episode, and I want to ask you a couple questions. Is how you are handling your current situation working for you? Are you scared to tell people the truth of what you are thinking? Does your family have a history of depression or other mental disorders? So this is going to include the stories of Weird Uncle Sal, who realistically probably had some mental health concerns, but lived in a time where those weren't addressed. So it can make it a little bit difficult to look back, but there should be signs that are going to be able to help you see if this is maybe like a family thing. What are the stereotypes in your head regarding taking medication? What is stopping you from considering taking medication as an option? So here I just want to remind you that, you know, opening up a conversation to talk about medication with a doctor or a counselor doesn't mean that you're going to have to make a decision about taking them. Opening up a conversation is just that. It's just a conversation to talk through what your fears might be and what you think taking medication means for your life. So after answering those questions, did you learn anything about your feelings regarding taking medication for mental health? It is probably one of those things that you don't know you have an opinion on until you have to consider it. If you think you're ready to explore if medication might be an option for you, these are going to be your next steps. First, go to a counselor. If you feel comfortable asking friends and family for recommendations, that's the best way to go. From experience, I can attest there are a number of counselors out there that are subpar. Do not be afraid to go to two or three until you find the right fit for you. It can be a frustrating and disappointing process, but trust your gut, and if you don't feel right with that person, then move on to someone else. But do not let it stop you from finding help. Have an initial conversation, talk to them honestly about your struggles and your symptoms, and ask their opinion regarding medication. Number two, your counselor will recommend you to a psychiatrist who is essentially a counselor who has had a lot more school and is qualified to prescribe and monitor medication. Then you will continue to go to counseling in conjunction with taking the medicine. And for the first little bit, you will consult with your psychiatrist every 3 months or so to monitor how you're doing on the medication. I hear a lot of people express their frustration in needing to take medication for depression or anxiety. I see people who have found something that has been able to help them get off of that medication, and they rejoice in that. I want us to be really careful not to give power to the pills, because inherently they have no power. They're just pills. And if they help you, maybe there's a way that you can learn to celebrate their role in your life. I think we're going to stop there for today. And I just want to thank you for your support of the Discover Freedom Project podcast. Just make sure that you're subscribed so that you can get all of the new episodes as they come out. We would just love that. And also, if you wouldn't mind giving us a rate and review in iTunes or Stitcher or however you listen to podcasts, we would really appreciate that as well. And share this if you think that there is just one episode that might help someone, please send it their way, because your life matters. #YourLifeMatters.